Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. I hope you go to church not just for the singing and the worship. That's very, very important. But it's the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing. And it doesn't come by worshiping. It comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Amen. Growth comes by hearing and heeding the Word of God. Literally eating, consuming the Word of God. The Scriptures are clear. Desire the sincere milk of the Word of God that you might grow thereby. So faith comes by hearing and heeding the Word. Growth comes and fruitfulness and maturity comes by hearing and heeding and literally eating the Word of God, spiritually speaking. Amen. Until we become full grown, not perfect yet, always progressing, but mature in the Lord. That's why Paul said to some people who had never grown spiritually, I couldn't give you meat because you couldn't bear it. So I fed you with milk. And he was ashamed of them. They had not grown. They were growing old, but they never grew up. And he said, when you should be out teaching others, you still have need that someone teach you what are the first principles of the oracles of God. And he said, leaving the foundation of repentance from dead works. That's what you build on, but that's not what you stay on. Leaving the foundation of baptisms. You build on that foundation, but you don't stay on that foundation. Let us go on to perfection, which means maturity and completeness in Christ. So that's what God wants for His people today, particularly in the times that we are living. Spiritual children are in great danger today of being deceived, being misled, following false teachers. It's a sign of the times. Many false prophets, they asked Jesus in Matthew's gospel, they said, well, what shall be the sign of your coming? When will all of this occur? And one of the things he told them is this, many false prophets will go out. That involves pastors, that involves teachers, that involves evangelists, anyone in spiritual leadership that has influence over his people, his children, his flock. Many of them will go out into the world and they will deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold, because the motive in serving God will be so corrupted by the false teachers and false prophets, their devotion to Him will begin to diminish more and more and more. That first love, that white hot love that brings that deep devotion will not be there. People will serve Him for other reasons than the gift of His Son. And they will seek to serve God just for the wealth, just for the benefits of the material world. And make no mistake about it, God blesses materially. But that's not the reason that we are devoted to Him. We're devoted to Him because He so loved us that He was willing to give His only begotten Son, and that Christ so loved us that He was willing to take our place and our punishment upon the cross. That demands a devotion because of who He is and what He has done for us, not the material and physical. Listen, there's not enough gold and silver, fortune and fame in all of the world to buy one drop of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, friend of mine today, there is a call to bow to no other God. There's a call to undivided loyalty to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to continue the message we began teaching. I want to preach on it today. I'll teach a little bit But I feel like preaching this morning. I feel a heavy anointing upon me to bring this message and continue it. A 3,000-year-old challenge to the postmodern church. That means the church that we are in today, the church world that we are in today. A 3,000-year-old challenge to the postmodern church. We began our teaching, and we will reiterate it today, Joshua 24, 14, and 15. You can go back to our Bible study in the midweek. Let's talk about Jesus and pick up some in-depth teaching about this. Listen to what it says and see if it doesn't fit us and if we do not need this challenge today as children of God. Joshua 24, 14, and 15 says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him how? In sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served," amen, "whether the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." You say, "Pastor, that's talking about way back then." Listen, the God that they were forsaking and compromising and bowing to other gods and trying to blend the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob with the gods of the pagans, that same God may not be as apparent today. And that's what's so dangerous, because the demon spirit that is impersonating that God, that is giving some kind of experience and promising blessing from these man-made pagan gods, that same spirit is alive and well and operating undercover. We want to uncover that spirit of Baal and Baalism that was capturing and captivating God's holy people. And Joshua is calling them back to an undivided loyalty to Jehovah in Joshua 24, 14, and 15. Let's listen to the same call from the prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21. It said, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him." Listen, this ancient God that was seducing God's people to worship, try to blend their worship with another God other than the true and the living God. Listen, that same God, that same devil is working today, and this same false God is seducing people today. You know, the Bible speaks of the end times like this, that the last days would be marked with seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So we're talking about the same ancient demon forces that were seducing God's people 3,000 years ago that is still operating to try to seduce God's people in the 21st century. It works so well for the devil. He hasn't changed his strategy. And if we discover his strategy, we'll be well armed to overcome every device and every deception of the devil. Scripture literally says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in the new covenant, that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." The devil would rather have a false prophet, a false preacher, and a false message brought out to bring people to worshiping a false God without really understanding what they're doing, than he would to try to bring a whole nation into atheism. There are many Christians. They're persecuted. The church has had to go underground because of persecution. I don't mean doubt in some mind. I'm talking about meeting in secret because of the intense persecution in China. You know what has motivated me and stirred me so much? I have been asked through an international organization to bring a Bible study by Zoom meeting to the underground church that is persecuted in Pakistan, where you can not only have to threaten to be imprisoned or beaten, but actually lay down your life for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think of what they are willing to sacrifice to bring the gospel to their people and to stand true to the true and living God, and I look at America and how many tens of thousands of Christians with Bibles in their hands are being seduced to follow a doctrine of materialism, a wealth gospel. There's nothing wrong with health. I believe in divine healing. I was healed of cancer. I preach healing. I lay hands on the sick and I anoint with oil. And we have seen many miracles in almost 50 years of ministry. But the majority of people that are being seduced into the get-rich gospel today are following Jesus for the wrong reason and actually bowing their knees to that ancient god Baal. Look at 1 Kings with me. Let me put it in context. In 1 Kings 18, when Elijah called them to make a commitment to the true and living God, just like Joshua did, in 1 Kings 18, we encounter a group of the children of Israel who had drifted away from a personal, vital relationship with God. Their relationship was, well, more convenient than it was committed, but it wasn't genuine. While they were in the wilderness, they depended on God for guidance and even sustenance. Jehovah was their provider. Without the manna God gave them, they would die. They were highly motivated to look to Him and Him alone, because He alone could deliver them and sustain them. Have you ever noticed how hard times cause us to depend more on God? I know it's that way in my life. It shouldn't take that, but sometimes it does. Sometimes it takes a shaking, like COVID brought to the world, to get people to cry out to God for His help and His blessing. Thank God He's a merciful God. Thank God He hears the cry of the sincere today. But when they reached Canaan, they got in the promised land. They encountered a brand new lifestyle. A new god was there among the Canaanites. Baal was the Canaanites' fertility god. And the locals taught them that if they worshiped Baal, they could have fertile wives, fertile herds, and fertile crops. The last two, fertile herds and crops, were essential for immediate survival. The first one, fertile wives, was essential for long-term survival. In the ancient Near East, offspring was essential for financial security and for the bloodline to continue on. The children honored their father and mother by providing food and clothing and shelter when their parents were too old to care for them. So what should the children of Israel do? I mean, they had to survive, didn't they? They decided that when in Canaan, they should do as the Canaanites do and worship Baal, as well as worship God. It was very practical to them. After all, they had a family to feed, a future to provide for. They worshiped and prayed to Baal for practical reasons, believing that he was the God who could meet their, listen to it, financial and material needs. But they couldn't ignore the God of their parents either, so they worshiped and prayed to Jehovah because of the culture of the Jewish people. Like passing through a cafeteria line, they picked and chose elements out of each religion they would follow. And I call this designer faith. It sounds very 21st century, doesn't it? I'll take all of the materialism and wealth gospel so that I can have all of these fleshly immediate needs met. But I'll take the gospel of Jesus Christ and taking up my cross when I need a miracle that money can't buy and wealth can't buy, and when I'm looking for something that fortune and fame can't give me. And this led to that famous confrontation on Mount Carmel. That's where Elijah stood, amen, and said, "Let the God who answers by fire be the true and the living God." Baalism, or the worship of Baal, is alive and well in our culture, rooted in sensuality and materialism. Listen to what Jesus said once again, a sign of the end. "Many false prophets will go out into the earth, deceive many, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold." It perfectly matches this sign of the end time in the New Testament, where it also says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, clearly, pointedly, poignantly, that in the last days some shall depart from the faith, and giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." Listen, the devil took Jesus to a hillside when he was fasting, up a mountain top, and showed him the kingdoms of the world, and said, "If you will bow down and worship me, it's within my power to give you these kingdoms." Is that really what Christians are supposed to be after today? That we want all of the material wealth and all of the fame and all of the fleshly desires that we could possibly imagine satisfied as we seek the same things that the pagan world is seeking after? Listen, It spawns some unresolvable conflicts, namely when people are open to everything, they have no real commitments, and they can never enjoy either allegiance. Modern Christians face the same problem. While striving to serve God, they bow down to the God of materialism. I'm going to tell you something. When you're in it for the wealth, the fame, and the fortune, imitating the pagan world about us in Hollywood, nothing wrong. If God makes you rich and He is first in your life, and you use that money not just to squander upon every whim and desire of your flesh, but you use it wisely and bring honor and glory to God, that's different. The problem is people are seeking after God and following leaders who really cannot be satisfied. They can never have enough. There's not enough wealth for them. They want more and more and more, taking on the same attitude of the world about us. Well, what a day that we're living in, ever having and never, ever getting and never having enough. That is not a representation of the kingdom of God. That is a distinct representation of the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus would not bow. The three Hebrew children would not bow. Daniel would not bow. And Elijah is calling the people of his day not to bow. And I'm calling you not to bow today. Listen. While striving to serve God, they bowed down to the God of materialism. That is Baalism. That is Baal worship. You don't see that ancient God, but the materialistic message, the temporal and material wealth of this world, as opposed to the eternal blessing of the kingdom, right now, has taken so many people captive, believing that modern day Baal can bring happiness and fulfillment. They do not enjoy godliness because their carnality strips them of the joy of their salvation. They can't enjoy godliness. They can't enjoy that rich fellowship with the Lord because they are after the same things to satisfy them as the world is, ever getting, never having enough. This attitude causes the Christian to constantly pray for an easier life, more wealth, and happiness without commitment. In this prayer, the Christian views God as a genie in a magic lamp. They feel if they rub the lamp hard enough and long enough and often enough, they can force God to accomplish their will. Elijah had a word for those of his generation who were halting between two opinions. And Elijah came to all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. If Baal, follow Him." When I started preparing my heart before preparing the messages to teach on the Scriptures to pastors in a nation who they may be killed just for being a Christian, certainly for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, for sacrificing everything materially they have, possibly. They may be called upon to do that, to preach this gospel that we have through the Scriptures and through the martyrs that delivered it in spite of their own lives being taken to bring it to us. This is a blood-bought gospel, and this is a blood-brought gospel today. And that's why Elijah said, "It's time to make up your mind. It's time to recognize where you are and what you need to be doing and make a choice." Please notice, Elijah did not ask the people to base their decision on who could bring them prosperity, happiness, or health. He challenged his listeners to base their decision on one factor: who is truly God? So Elijah has a word for the postmodern Christian community. That's us. Clearly his words echo through the centuries to ask us, "How long halt ye between two opinions?" We must choose our allegiance based on who is God. Our motivation for following God is not because He can get us to heaven only, or because He can bring joy into our life and fulfillment through material blessings, which certainly He blesses materially. But because He will provide every wish and desire, but because He's God and He's good, and He loved us enough to give us His Son, and Christ loved us enough to take our place and punishment on the cross. And that should be the holiest and highest reason for serving God today. Oh, dear friend of mine, we need, when I just thought about the people I would be speaking to, and really face to face through a Zoom meeting, oh friend, I was so thrilled at the opportunity to be a comfort to them and to give them the truth of God's Word, to explain the Scriptures to them that they might preach it and teach it to others. But I was so humbled by the fact that I'm talking to people that may even lay down their life for the gospel, instead of people that don't want to sacrifice anything in order to follow Jesus. And we're in a very shallow Christian community today. A missionary from Africa that had come under great persecution in that area of Africa, he said, "When I came to America, I saw a river 1,000 miles long," speaking of the church that he saw in general here, "but only an inch deep." We need a deeper walk with God and a deeper commitment than that today. Listen to what Jesus said to the messenger of the church of Smyrna in Revelation 2 in verse 8 through 12. "And to the angel or messenger or pastor, you see, of the church of Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty." They were in a church world situation where trade unions would not allow Christians to work for them, and it was costing them in order to follow their faith and follow Jesus Christ. "Listen, I know thy works and tribulation. I know the pressure you're under, and I know your poverty. But thou art rich." Isn't that an amazing thing for him to tell them? He's talking about the true riches of understanding, appreciating, appropriating the kingdom of God, understanding what that sacrifice on the cross is truly worth, and what eternal life is worth when it's juxtaposed over against eternal separation and damnation. I know thy works. I know you're going through it. I know your pressure, and I know your poverty, but thou art rich. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? Told the church of Laodicea, who said, I'm rich, and talking about the material, I'm rich and increased with goods and need of nothing. He said, you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. He tells the people that are materially being impoverished because of the persecution they were under, and he said, you're rich. He called the rich in material things without being rich in faith toward God, poverty stricken and poor, blind and naked. Listen, there may be a preacher standing today with a Rolex watch and an Armani suit. He may get in a private jet to fly. There's nothing wrong if Jesus is Lord and Jesus is first. And if that man, that woman, that person would be willing to sacrifice it all to follow the Master, instead of just be ever grabbing and grasping for more and more and more, ever getting and never having enough, that is a picture of the world apart from the kingdom of God, apart from our Lord Jesus Christ. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. That's my message to those pastors in Pakistan that I hope I can talk to face to face. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, not literally, but he's going to move and motivate people to persecute them, and that you may be tried. And you shall have tribulation. You'll be under the gun and under the pressure, you see. Thelpsis, pressure and anguish, 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. What is the second death? It's when that final judgment takes place. Oh, what a promise this is. This is worth more than all the gold and silver. This is worth more than all of the fortune and the fame, dear friend. Your soul and where it spends eternity cannot be valued with all the things the world might offer us to satisfy and titillate every desire of our flesh. We shouldn't trade our own life for the eternal life that is ours in Christ, as opposed to the eternal banishment and punishment that await those that do not know Him. We need to reset our values today. Jesus is coming soon, and to them that look for Him, those are those that long for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. To them that look for Him, those that are longing for Him, oh, He shall appear. I'm convinced that many who name the name of Christ are not looking for or longing for Jesus. They're looking for more wealth, more gold, more silver, and they're following the prophets and preachers that are promising Him just that. And without realizing it, they are bowing to Baal. The same ancient God that seduced Israel then is just as seductive, just as powerful, and even more so because of all the material things that we can acquire in this generation. Oh, the things that we can bring to our flesh to titillate every desire of our flesh. The problem is the flesh never gets enough. And even the preachers and pastors that propagate these messages, their house can't be big enough. They can't get enough vehicles. They can't get enough airplanes. They can't get enough money. And they can't stop grasping for more. Ah, but the scripture said, we brought nothing into this world. We can take nothing out. Doesn't mean you live in poverty. Doesn't mean that God will not bless you materially. It means that that's not what we're after. And if it came to it, we'd be willing to give it all up that we might have eternal life. Oh, listen, the Bible said there's a great white throne judgment going to occur. In Revelation chapter 20, and I saw the dead, small and great. The sea gave up its dead, and the land gave up its dead, all the dead from Adam till now, to stand before the great white throne judgment, and everyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire along with the false prophet, along with the Antichrist. This is the second death. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And there's another death, that eternal separation from God, banishment from God, and eternal punishment in a place called hell. What's that worth today? Is it worth giving up everything, even our life? Jesus said, be faithful unto death. If it cost you that, it'll be worth it. How important it is to escape that. See, it's not just heaven to gain, it's hell to shun. Jesus said this. He used this to talk about how important it is to go to heaven. He said, if your eye offends you, if it's going to take you to hell, pluck it out. Not literally, but he meant it's that important. If your eye offends thee, pluck it out. It'd be better to go to heaven with one eye than to go to hell with both eyes. If thy hand offend thee, cut it off, figuratively, not literally. But he's saying it's that important. Where your soul spends eternity, it'd be better to go to heaven missing a hand. See, when you get to heaven, you're going to be made whole anyway. But this is the point he's making. It's that vital. It's that important. Be better to go to heaven with one hand than to go to hell with both hands. Dear friend of mine, how did we get here today? How did we come to this place? How can tens of thousands of Christians in America follow false teachers, false prophets, not willing to make the commitment that's being called for? That's why this is not an antiquated old book. The God of this book has not changed. He's the Lord God of Israel. He changes not. We've changed. The church world has changed. But God never changes. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's why when he went and ascended to heaven, amen, they said, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, the same manner as he went up, is going to come back again. We need to be living in the light of the soon coming of Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. You put the king first, the kingdom will be first. And when the kingdom is first, he said, I'll take care of everything else. You don't have to be like the Gentiles, seeking after everything the world has to offer. I will take care of you. If the kingdom is first and his righteousness, all these things will be granted to you and given to you. And you won't find yourself bowing to Baal in the process. Hallelujah. God will see to it today. Hallelujah. Amen. We brought nothing into this world, dear friend. Scripture says we can take nothing out. But godliness with contentment is great gain. This is the true riches. Be content with such things as you have. We're better off than so many people. Oh, having food and raiment and Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, you're rich. Be content. and let that contentment be put in contrast over against a gainsaying world, ever getting, never having enough. God is moving in among young people today. There's going to be false fire, but I believe there's a genuine fire of God moving among young people today, the Z generation. Amen. We're down to the last generation, last letter of the alphabet. They're calling themselves the Z generation. The last generation, or the generation that will be alive when Jesus comes, and I may be part of it, and you may be part of it, because Jesus is coming soon. And I believe there's going to be a last day harvest. Hallelujah. And I don't believe that everyone is going to fall away, because God has a remnant. He's always had a remnant. And that righteous remnant is looking and longing for His soon return. There's nothing the world can offer us that can woo us and seduce us away from following our Lord and Savior, denying ourselves, taking up our cross, whatever the consequences, and following Him, because it's worth it all. Today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, God loved you enough to give His Son. That means to send Him here to die in your place, to die in your stead. If you have been put off by the materialistic gospel that has hurt so many people's faith, that has seduced so many Christians, and you've seen it for what it is, you wonder why we can't see it. Well, we're waking up to what it is. A lot of us are seeing it. It's a strong pull. Baal is an ancient, evil god of materialism and sensuality. Jesus is the God of glory, the God of grace, the God of light and life, the God who can fulfill the deepest needs, desires of your heart, make you rich when the world considers you poor. Hallelujah. Because you have a peace that can't be bought with gold and silver. You have a joy that no drug, no sensual pleasure can compete and compare with. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's joy in the Holy Ghost, and it's peace like the world could never offer, and it's eternal bliss in the world to come. So today, get your eyes off of the false prophets, false preachers, false teachers, and phony Christians, and let's follow the Jesus, the Christ of the Bible, the Christ of the cross, the Christ of glory. And let's make that holy choice today to come and be saved, come and be sealed by the Holy Spirit and saved from the wrath to come. My Christian brother and sister, how halt you between two opinions? It's time to get on your knees, get on your face before God. Open up your Bible and recommit, if you haven't already, your heart and your life, no matter what the cost, to follow Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name.